You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're just doing a really short check-in show looking at three teams: the LA Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Let's get to it.
All right, fantasy check-in time for the LA Clippers. Nathan Ritchie has a question. He says, Montrezl Harrell, the table, has had a huge leap in improvement this season. Is there room for him to keep getting better? I think that's a good question to take a look at, because people do a lot of the times think that improvement is linear, and that's not necessarily the case. So let's look at what Harrell's done this season. He's played an additional 8 minutes per game, so that does skew some of his numbers. So if we look at it on a per 36-minute basis, you know, what sort of improvements have we actually seen from Montrezl Harrell this season? Well, in fact, his scoring per 36 has gone down. So that's one thing. His rebounding has increased slightly from 8.5 to 9.6. The assists have gone from 2.1 to 2.4. But it's the defensive numbers. Steals from 1 steal per 36 to 1.4, and that is a not insignificant change. And blocks from 1.4 to 2. Yeah, big changes there. Everything else is pretty much in line with what he was doing before. He was 64% from the field last season and 63% from the line. This year, he's 63 and 62, so actually marginally worse with his shooting. And he did start the season quite well from the free throw line. That has dropped off pretty significantly. So a lower true shooting than last season, a lower true shooting than the year before that. The big thing that we're seeing here with him is, of course, the increase in minutes and those increase in defensive stats, the steals and the blocks, is really helping his overall value. So I guess we could look at this and say, yeah, can he continue to improve, when in reality we're looking at what he's doing, and outside of those defensive numbers, he hasn't actually improved in many numbers at all this season. Now, his advanced stats defensively are really positive as well, and that has taken a big leap forward. I'm not sure that can really get any better. The other thing we can look at for Harrell is if he goes from playing 25 minutes a night, which is where he is at the moment, to playing the 28 that he deserves to play. And I think that's the area where, you know, overall improvement in Harrell's numbers come. He hasn't been a guy that when you've given him extra minutes, the numbers drop off. We've seen that. They stay at almost the same level. So really, you're just looking for a larger role, which, given his play, he deserves to be playing more than 25 minutes per game. So there is that room for improvement there. But we're 4 years into the Montrezl Harrell experience, and outside of this spike in steals and blocks this season, everything else on a per-minute basis has been relatively the same. It's just that he has improved his defensive ability, and that's kept him on the floor longer, and I think that that will be able to keep him on the floor for a longer period of time moving forward, and I think that's the thing you'll see spike. Fantasy check-in now, time now for the Los Angeles Lakers. The question comes from Sixers_basketball. He says, which player suffers the most on the Lakers once LeBron gets back? And it's not as simple as saying one player, but if I had to single out one guy, it's Josh Hart, who's been starting in LeBron's absence, and over the last 2 weeks is the number one ranked Los Angeles Lakers player in fantasy basketball, as the 76th overall guy, playing 34 minutes a night. So he's going to see a significant drop down in his minutes, probably down to, yeah, best case scenario, high 20s, worst case, 23 or 24 minutes a game. So he's going to suffer quite a bit. You're going to see Lonzo Ball suffer quite a bit. You're going to see Brandon Ingram suffer considerably as well. Not that Ingram's necessarily doing a huge amount. The 171st ranked player over the last 2 weeks, despite scoring 19 points and averaging 35 minutes per game. You know, just real negatives in many areas from Ingram. So I think that if we had to order, it would be Hart. It would then be Lonzo, who's seen his assist numbers spike back up 6.6 over the last 8 games without LeBron there. He's scoring a little bit more fluidly as well. Shooting 24% from three is clearly not ideal. And then you're going to have Ingram probably next, and then Kuzma after that. But everyone takes a hit, but mostly those guys who do get the increase in minutes in Hart or the increase in ball handling in Ball and Ingram. And I think that's a pretty clear delineation in terms of how that value does get distributed when LeBron is absent, and when he returns, things will go back to how they were earlier in the season, I would imagine. Fantasy check-in time now for the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of questions came through on the Grizzlies actually here. Kent Schultz says, could Gasol and Conley become shutdown candidates? And I choose this question because I hate that term. How often do we have players that literally just stop playing for no reason? It happened. It did happen, and I'll admit this. It happened with Eric Bledsoe and Tyson Chandler a couple of years ago in Phoenix. How did that work out well for them? It basically meant that will never happen again in the NBA, I don't believe, with the treatment of Bledsoe, who they traded away and got nothing in return. A protected first-round pick, might be pick 29, perhaps that's what they get. But yeah, a guy who poisoned their locker room and really wasn't done right by that team at all. And so how often do players... look? If players are out for the season and people use the term "we're going to shut him down" and people really get tied up in that phrasing, it just means that he's out for the season. It means that he's injured and he's not going to be coming back. So unless these guys get hurt, they're not going to just stop playing. Yes, they might take an additional game off or so in April, which again, you should never be playing fantasy basketball in April. Never, 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 never. And just for completeness, never. Don't play fantasy basketball in April. But I don't think we're just going to have, once the All-Star break comes, that Gasol and Conley aren't playing. Now, Gasol has dealt with ankle injuries this season. Conley's had his share of injuries. But I really don't see them being preemptively not played. Gasol got David Fizdale fired because he didn't play in a fourth quarter of a blowout last season. These guys are not going to be happy if they're just told we're not playing again. And this thought process was pervasive with Gasol last season. He's going to get shut down. The Grizzlies are struggling. They're tanking. They're not doing anything. Oh, after the All-Star break, Gasol won't play. And that's just not the reality of how most of these things work. And I think that is, trying to make decisions and trading away guys based on a mythical shutdown, which might happen 1% of the time, I think is generally a losing proposition in fantasy basketball. And you don't come out, well, obviously you don't come out on the winning side, because that's what happens when it's losing. If for reference on Gasol, last season after the All-Star break, he missed 5 games prior to April after the All-Star break. Just some resting games not back. Most of them were back-to-backs. He sat out the second half of the back-to-back on a team that was really struggling. But in the other games, he played 33, 35, 36, 37, 32, 30, 33, 36 minutes, 33, 34. And then once you got into April, the minutes did start to decrease there as they really leaned heavily into the tank. But he wasn't happy with that. He was visibly and notably and audibly pissed at that decision. And this team, while they are starting to struggle at the moment, they're not going to be in that same level as they were last season. So I just don't think that should be something that you get yourself overly concerned with. Just one other quick question on the Grizzlies. Ralph said, is Kyle Anderson trending down after the Justin Holiday trade? No, I don't see Holiday really cutting into anything. Anderson is still playing his minutes. He's still doing what he needs to do. Justin Holiday is barely getting to 20 minutes per game. I don't see this trend down happening that you're speaking of. His last four games, Anderson's played 38, 29 minutes in a blowout to the Spurs, 31 minutes in a blowout loss to the Pelicans, and then 33 minutes in a win against the Spurs. So the scoring hasn't been fantastic in those games, but you don't have him for scoring. You have him for assists and rebounds and blocks and steals. And I have no indication that Kyle Anderson and Justin Holiday is going to have any sort of negative impact on Kyle Anderson. So maybe use that on a flip side and try and get the Kyle Anderson off another manager by stoking that fear that Justin Holiday is going to impact him. I don't believe it will. And that'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. Subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and tell your smart speaker to play your favorite NBA team by saying play podcast Locked On, insert team name here. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.